The topic is Maker of Heaven and Earth, of all things visible and invisible. Belinda, maybe separate both of them. Have one of them sit over here, okay? Yeah. What does it mean to say that God is the Creator? To say that God is the Creator, page 29. Means that God made all things from nothing and keeps them in existence by His providence. God creates with wisdom and love. Creation is the foundation of all God's saving plans. The beginning of the history of salvation that culminates in Christ. Do any of you know what that reference is, CCC? I didn't think you know, so I'll tell you. If you give me permission. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay? So CCC is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Probably the most important church document in the past 50 years, so eventually, hopefully you're going to read it. Okay? So the past 50 years, everything that the church has written, one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Published in the pontificate of John Paul II, under the supervision of Cardinal Ratzinger. You know who he is? He became Pope Benedict XVI. And it's divided into four parts, okay? The dogma, the creed, morality, the Ten Commandments, channels of grace, the sacraments, and the last part would be that of prayer. So, CCC. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Got that? If you speak Spanish, it'd be CIC. What would that be? Catecismo Iglesia Católica. Some of you speak Spanish, huh? Catecismo Iglesia Católica. Got it? All right, there we have it. We got below it says in the graphic picture, God is the creator of all things, visible and invisible, from the greatest to the least. Turn the page. What does the expression of heaven and earth mean? It means that God is the creator of all that exists, except for Himself. So God didn't create Himself, did He? No. Who created God? No one. God has no beginning and no end. That's called what? A mystery, right? No beginning and no end. We had a beginning, but we have no end. So we have a timeline, you know, going in one direction and then going another direction. God has the two parts of the timeline. Whereas for us, we start with our birth all the way until we die. What's going to happen as soon as we die? No, it's judgment. You're going to be judged. Judgment, and then after that, you're going to either be saved or damned for all eternity. In your timeline, God has determined a certain amount of years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds for you to live, and then once you die, you go before the Lord, and the Lord is going to ask you, show me the book of your life, or the, if you like, the DVD of your life. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. Hopefully when God is looking at the DVD of your life, you don't ask Him to get up and go for popcorn for intermission, okay? Or cover His eyes. Lord, from 20 to 35, I wasn't good. Don't even look, Lord. Oh, hopefully you won't have to do that, okay? Is your film going to be G, PG, R, or XXX? Probably going to be G, right? Well, hopefully G, right? They're not XXX, prohibited. No, I hope not. Huh? So, every day we live is a chapter of our life. Hopefully it's going to be a good book, right? And as the book of the Apocalypse says, that we'll have our names written in the book of life. I like that. You like to have your names written in the book of life, right? In gold, huh? When Jesus opens up the book, huh? Darian. Guadalupe, huh? Ernesto, hey. Sabrina, hey. Jesus, hey. Maggie, hey. See your name in the book of life. Good place to be, right? We should even pray that we would have our names written in the book of life. Never to be erased for all eternity. Amen, huh? Okay, it means that God is the creator of all that exists except himself, okay? As the words immediately follow that phrase explain, of all things visible and invisible. Are there then other invisible realities besides God, who, as we have said, is pure spirit? Yes, there are spiritual creatures which are invisible to human eyes, angels, and also human souls. God creates a human soul every time a baby is conceived. Can you name any of the angels that we have in the Bible? Three names. Okay, Gabriel, Michael. Anyone else? Raphael. Okay, so Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Any of you know what those means? Those names mean from the Hebrew? Well, that's the Spanish. Well, how would you translate it into English? No, Michael would be, who is likened to God? What about Gabriel? That's what angel means. Angel means messenger. Angelos. Class before, a couple classes before, I think I explained it. Gabriel, I think you were close. You said it for Michael. No, you said it rather. What was the word you said? Okay, so Gabriel would be power of God. How about Raphael? Good. Okay, God heals. Or medicine of God, because he was the angel that healed. He healed one man of blindness, and he did other healings. So we have angels. Those are archangels. You have your guardian angel. You should pray to your guardian angel. Your guardian angel is beside you, and he wants to help you to get to heaven. So your guardian angel, when you're tempted to do bad things from the devil, the guardian angel warns you not to follow that bad thought. You ever think about that? You have a bad thought from your devil. Well, from the devil. I'm not going to say your devil, but the devil. Then your guardian angel says, hey, that's not right. Don't do it. Probably never thought about that, huh? Got a really ugly thought coming from the devil. Your guardian angel says, don't give in to it. Don't do it. And you don't do it, you don't commit a sin, and you have peace. And that happens constantly, but we're not aware of it. That's constantly happening. We're constantly having good thoughts as well as the negative thoughts. Negative thoughts come from the enemy. We've got to reject them quickly. Good ones we want to receive. So what would be the technical word? The good spirit sends us inspirations. The bad spirit, what? Be temptations, right? Inspiration from God, temptation from the devil. Temptation, we have to recognize it comes, recognize it, you're being tempted, and then you call in God's help to reject it. And that's going to happen the rest of your life. You know, to the very end of your life, there's struggles. No? One of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church, who gave us True Devotion to Mary, which is a book on consecrating yourself to Mary, you know what his last words were? Merci beaucoup, je ne peux pécher plus. Parlez-vous français? Merci beaucoup means thank you very much. Je ne peux pécher plus. I can't sin anymore. Can't lose tomorrow for him. So he struggled. And he struggled in his life to try to get sin out of his life. So, Brian, what do you think is about one of the best ways to conquer sin in your life? Good. Any other way? That's a good one. Okay, I'll tell you one you never thought of, but once I tell you, you're going to say, hey, that's not bad. Okay, when you go to communion, receive the body and blood of Christ, ask Jesus to protect you like a bulletproof shield. You ever see those movies where they're shooting and the guy has a bulletproof shield on? Vest, rather. So when you receive communion, it's like you have the blood of Christ that will protect you against the bullets of the devil. I thought you'd like that. We're in spiritual warfare, huh? But you got the blood of Christ covering you. You're strong. So take advantage of your communions to ask for special graces. When you go to communion mass, do you ever ask for anything? Vanessa, what do you ask for? Nothing? What do you ask? What would be something you ask for? Okay, for some family intention? Good. Anyone else? Because the most important thing you can do is to receive communion. You should try to take advantage of it. This afternoon I went to visit a lady who had like a 6-hour operation on her throat. She had throat cancer. Any of you know what a tracheotomy is, any of you? Trach? Do you know what a tracheotomy is, Belinda? What's that? Lauren? It's people that can't breathe by themselves. They have to have like a hole. They cut a hole their throat. Then they attach a plastic part to it, and from that, a tube of oxygen so that they can breathe. It's called a tracheotomy. And I married this woman about 10 years ago, and she had about a 6-hour operation, and there was a good chance she was going to die, but she survived. And I went to visit her this afternoon, and couldn't get into her house, but because I was knocking at the door, she didn't hear me. She couldn't go. But I went in the back of the house, and then I knocked on the back door, and finally I was able to get in. Lives in Rossmore, which is close to Los Alamitos, no? And I sat down, I prayed with her, and you know how I communicate with her? She wanted to talk with me, but she couldn't talk. You know what she did? But she couldn't talk because of her mouth is covered and her throat is that a tracheotomy, and she's got a big scar, a big scar on the right side of her face. Use your intelligence, okay? You're an intelligent group. Okay. She did communicate with me for a 30 minutes, but she couldn't speak. What would be the way? Excellent. You're going to say the same thing? Yeah, good. So she brought out a pad of paper, and I was talking to her, and she go, write down the pad, and then I'd read it, and then I'd be talking another 3 minutes, and she'd say, wait a minute. Ah, interesting. I said, hey, Marianne, you got to pray for me. And she had a big smile on her face. She wrote down, I pray for you every day. And I said, pray for me twice a day. Oh, okay. And I got up and left. And I felt how fortunate I am that I have legs, I have arms, I can breathe. I've never had a 6-hour operation. I can breathe using my own lungs. Oh, what a blessing. So I left her house praying for her, but thinking, how fortunate I am that I have, you know, pretty good health. Not perfect, but pretty good health. You got to be thankful, right? Be thankful for what we have. Before reading on, we're talking about creation. Okay, you're talking about creation. Now, creation comes from the Creator. Maybe that's common sense, right? If you have creation, there must be a Creator behind it. And creation is beautiful. Why? Because the Creator is God. And everything that God creates is beautiful. Now, in all of creation, is there anything in creation that really seems to captivate you, that you really like, that maybe moved you to think about God? It's interesting. I make that question here for people who live in the city, they don't respond. If you were to speak with someone that lived like in nature right away, that person would be able to talk like that. But you live in a place where there's a lot of noise, a lot of buildings, a lot of cars. Have you ever taken a nature walk? Have you ever been exposed to nature? There's nothing in nature that really seems to appeal to you? Yeah, so do I.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah. Before my conversion, I wrote my first poem with grass. Can I tell you what it is? Green is the grass on the ground. Green is the money I have found. Ah! Not a very spiritual poem, is it? No? That was before my conversion, okay? Try to translate that one into Spanish, huh? Once I was sitting in the grass, I was about 7 years old, and I used to cut grass. When I was your age, I'd have to cut about a 3/4 of an acre. Can you imagine that? Know how much that is? It's huge. I'd have to cut that, no? Those are the days when the fathers made their boys really work hard, no? I mean, I'd be sweating like a pig, but excuse my English, no? It was hard work, no? I was sitting in the grass, and I thought, it was related to one of the most famous rock and roll artists of the 60s or 70s. Now, you've never heard of them, but they're world famous. They're called Simon and Garfunkel. Okay? Your parents have probably heard of them because they're a little bit older than you, no? And Simon and Garfunkel, one of the songs that they wrote was You Are a Rock, I'm an Island. No? You ever hear that in the Philippines? No? You're a rock, I'm an island, no? And I was thinking that I'm not a rock and you're not an island. You know, God could have created me a rock. God could have created me a plant. God could have created me grass. God could have created me a hippopotamus or a spotted owl. No? But God created me a human person. So all of creation, the high point of creation on earth, is a human person. Because one day, the green grass is going to turn brown, it's going to die. One day, the cat is going to get old and die. One day, the turtle He's going to get old and die. And after that, that's the end of the grass, that's the end of the turtle, that's the end of the oak tree. But what about you? Are you going to die and decompose, and that's going to be the end of you? Sabrina, what do you think? What's going to happen after you die? So what's the difference between you and a cat or a dog? You say you don't bark or meow. Okay? Well, that's true. But above and beyond that, maybe you do bark at your brother now and then, right? Okay, good. So our soul, let's talk about the soul. What's the soul? Think about your soul. What's your soul? Okay, can you tell me what are the faculties of the soul, the different parts of the soul? No. Ernesto, you're a theologian in disguise. Could you tell me? No? Soul has, it's spiritual, but it has memory. You have a memory, right? It's invisible, right? You have imagination. Can you imagine something? Can you imagine yourself, you know, doing something for you're going to be doing tomorrow? You have your imagination. How about your intelligence? What does your intelligence mean? Is that someone can present the truth to you maybe in reading and you can understand it. So we've got memory, we have imagination, and we have intelligence. That's all in our soul. He asked this yesterday. Do we spend more time cultivating or giving more importance to our body or our soul? Be honest, in your life, do you think you have more time and more dedication to your body or your soul? Okay, you're honest. That's what they said yesterday. You know, they all said the body. You're a little bit more quiet group. Yes, it was a little bit more boisterous, a little bit loud and clamorous, if I can use those words, no? But almost all of them said your body. Then he asked a question. What about both of you? Do you think your mother gives more time to her body or her soul? Be honest. I know both of your parents. I think both of your mothers, you know, they really give a lot of time to their soul. Sabrina, do you think that when you're your mother's age, you'll be the same in that respect?
I have no idea.
Okay. Do you hope you will?
Yeah.
Darian, what about your mother? Give more time to the body or the soul?
Yeah.
What about Senora Rocio, your mom? What about your mom? Yeah, I would say most of your parents, what about your mom? You got a big family, you got the little baby there, she's working with the baby's health problems, right? But I would say most of your parents, I know them, I'm pretty impressed with most of your parents, not that I know them really well. I say most of your parents dedicate maybe more time to their soul. Of course, they watch over their body, but do any of your parents go to daily mass? How many of your parents go to daily mass? Let's see. Belinda, look at that. That's about 80%. That's pretty good, isn't it? In fact, your mom and dad, or your mother, your dad probably has to work, goes to daily mass. That's pretty good, isn't it? But this is the reality of most people. We have difficulty in getting people to spend night in adoration. Coming to do an hour of adoration. That means to visit Jesus. In the 8 o'clock Mass in the morning, maybe we get 150 people. What would happen if tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning at St. Peter Schnell we had a visitor and his name was Paul McCartney? Belinda, they never heard of Paul McCartney. Ooh, the most famous rock and roll star in the whole universe. You never heard of Paul McCartney? Okay, well, at least three or four of you heard me. By the way, he's one of the two Beatles that are still living, right? Is he famous? What would happen if he were coming to the church? Do you think the church would be full? It would be packed all the way to McDonald's, no? Right, Belinda? Well, what happens if people know that Jesus is coming in Holy Mass? Is the Mass packed? Sad, isn't it? What's more full, the casino or the church? It's kind of sad, isn't it? That we pack the casino, gamble away your life savings, huh? A church. So it's a matter of, do we have faith or not? If I told you tomorrow, if you shake my hand at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll give you $5 billion, will you come? $5 billion. I mean, you wouldn't have to work the rest of your life. Hmm? No. You could sleep 18 hours a day until you're 89 and a half years old, huh? This is the first group of classes I've ever heard anyone say I would not come because of laziness, right? Yep. But what about if I were to celebrate Mass for you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't come. But for the money, you'd come. Take the money and run, huh? But for Mass? No, 3 o'clock. I prefer 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't forget it's Saturday. See, it's the same point. Body, soul. The body sleep in? Yeah. The soul get up early and make a sacrifice? No, tomorrow's Saturday. Right, Sabrina? Well, at least you're honest, no? You like your covers and a nice soft pillow, right? Yeah, well, you got to be honest, huh? So in creation, everything that God created is for our good. You know what I really like in creation? I like the sun. You like the sun? Yeah, I like that. Do you like the sunset? Do you like the sunrise? Sabrina never been up to see it because she's sleeping in, no? I'm going to be hounding you the rest of the class, huh? You've ever gotten up to see the sun rise? It's almost as if God is a painter. He's taken this huge paintbrush. Has he painted orange, yellow, reddish, like an arc over the sky? God is a painter, isn't he? And then when the sun goes down, you can see almost the same colors. God is a beautiful artist. Now, if you study physics, which you're going to be studying probably in 9th or 10th grade, the sun, you probably know, is a star. Did you know that? It's a medium-sized star. It's basically a ball of fire, what it is. But the sun has basically two properties. And they would be light and heat, right? Is that true? Does the sun have light? Does it have heat? Did the Holy Spirit descend upon the apostles on Pentecost? In what? Fire, right? So the sun is a symbol of God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, right? Also, the sun is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, because He gives light to our mind and love to our heart. Also, the Son is it a rectangle? Is it a triangle? Or is it a circle? You're very observant. Okay, it's a circle. What about the host and the Mass? Aha! Ever think about that? So it's kind of a symbol of the host. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Right. I'm waxing poetic, huh? And as the sun rises, what does the priest do with the host in the Mass? Doesn't he raise up the host? So isn't there a certain symbolic, poetic connection between the sun rising and the Son of God rising in the hands of the priest? And as St. Peter says, as the morning star rises in your hearts. I love that. Morning star rises in your hearts. So I don't know about you, I don't like darkness that much, maybe you. I like light. Kind of scary, right? It is, isn't it? And don't you prefer the sun to the darkness? Yeah. So think about nature that God has created. What in nature seems to really captivate you most? Do you ever go to the Long Beach Aquarium? Ever been to an aquarium? Did you notice the variety you have of the different fish? Or all the fish are the same? If you go to the aquarium there, any big aquarium like Long Beach Aquarium, all the fish are basically different. Even if you had like a catfish or a sunfish or a pike, okay? Or even a shark. Sometimes you see the sharks. No? They're all different. So God decided to create variety. My uncle once said God could have created the world in black and white, but He created the world in colors. No? Do you ever look up at the rainbow after it? You like the rainbow? Beautiful, isn't it? You ever see the stars in the sky? Once, if you ever go to get out of L.A. because there's so much smog, you go to like New Hampshire, maybe Montana. If you look up, it is so different because you don't have that smog, which kind of blurs it. No, you look up at the sky and see those stars. Makes you think about God. What else? How about you ever go to the ocean? You ever look at the waves coming in? Does that make you, do you like that, or does that make you afraid? You like it? Well, it makes me think about God in two ways. Is that those waves are powerful. Do you know what a tsunami is? In Spanish, it's un maremoto. Maremoto, like I know in terremoto, but a maremoto, like a wave quake. And that destroyed. And that was in India. Oh, you swear some luck. Okay. India. About 8 years ago, there was that tsunami that killed about 250,000 people. So powerful. So the waves make us think about God's power, but God's eternity. Because every time you go to the ocean, you're going to be seeing those waves. So on the waves, powerful waves, God's omnipotence, but also God's eternal character. So looking at nature, what in nature helps you to think about God? That's one of the purpose of this class today, is that God created nature. Everything in nature is beautiful. Makes you think about God. Any of you ever see snow? Maybe you ever see postcards? Do you know what snow is? Okay. Californians don't know what snow is, no? Okay. What is snow? It's that white stuff that falls from the sky in the other part of the country, right? You know, there's no one snowflake that's the same, like a fingerprint. Makes me think about every person that we've created is different. Because every snowflake is different, every human person is different, every fingerprint is different too. God likes variety. What are we going to say? Yes, what about you?
Clouds.
Clouds. Okay. Why clouds?
Because every single one, like, when it moves in the wind, like, it shows you that sometimes it can look like something.
Yeah. I thought about it. Sometimes it looks like a figure. It looks maybe a person, or like an animal. And that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? No, lady?
The
trees. Okay, why the trees? Okay. And they sit underneath the tree. Did you ever go up north and see those big redwoods? I went up about 10 years ago, and they actually, we drove our car underneath a tree that was about 2,000 years old, in which they actually carved a tunnel into that tree. But I think about trees also, the branches look like there's arms lifted up to praise God. Thought about that, no? Anyone else? Yeah. Okay. Oh, the mountains. What do you think about the mountains? Does that make... Okay, they're huge, kind of monumental like God, right? The greatness of God, the majesty of God. Good one. So, did you have one? Okay. Good. Like God's eternity, right? God has no beginning, no end. Yeah. You know what the sand was before, most likely? You know what it was before? Never thought about it? The sand grains were most likely a rock that the waves beat against, and they eroded, and then they decompose, and they turn into these little things that are, they're almost microscopic. But one, they were part of a big rock. Yeah. Nothing in nature?
Yeah.
Okay. The ocean? Why the ocean? Okay. God's infinite character, yeah. Let's just try. Okay. What do you, Belinda? Yes. Oh, the Grand Canyon. Ah! Have any of you been to the Grand Canyon? Maybe one day you'll go. Yes, that is majestic, isn't it? Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, the Grand Canyon. Well, okay, good. We're going to go right to the, give out the lesson sheets now, and we'll work on them quickly, even though we haven't finished reading all. Lauren took a coffee break. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so topic is God, maker of heaven and earth. This is one for me. Okay, what does it mean to say that God is the creator? Say that God is the creator means that God made all things from what? From what? Nothing. and keeps them in existence. By His providence, God creates with wisdom and love. Creation is the foundation of all God's saving plans, the beginning of the history of salvation that culminates in Christ. What does the expression of heaven and earth mean? It means that God is the creator of all that exists, whether spiritual or material. As the words immediately following that phrase explain, of all things visible and invisible. Are there then other invisible realities besides God, as we have said, is pure spirit? What do you think? Yes. There are spiritual creatures which are invisible to human eyes. What are they? Angels. And also human souls. God creates a human soul every time a baby is conceived. What is the difference between the angels and the human soul? The angels are pure spirits created to be, to exist without bodies, while human souls were created to be united with bodies, even though they do exist separately from the body after death. In expectation of the resurrection, both angels and human souls are immortal. What do we know about the angels? We know that the angels are spiritual creatures gifted with what? Intelligence and free will. Sacred Scripture speaks very frequently about the angels. They're much more perfect and powerful than we are. They're part of God's plan for salvation. The church, too, benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. Some angels remain faithful to who? God, who had called them to a very particular friendship with Him through the gift of divine grace, and they were allowed to enter paradise. These are the good angels who watch over us and what else? Protect us. But some of the angels, what do they do? They rebelled against God and refused His grace. These angels, what are they called? They're called demons. They have been condemned to hell forever. They try to lead us away, from God. We should constantly recommend ourselves to our good angels. And above all, to our guardian angels. And keep ourselves free from the snares. What does snare mean? Good, the traps. How do you say that in Spanish? Las trampas, right? Trap of the devil, who wants to tempt us to do evil. Which is the noblest of all God's visible creatures? The noblest of God's visible creatures is the human person, created in the image and likeness of God, and able to know and love his own creator. It is true that the human person belongs to the material world on account of his body, but it is also true that he is like the angels because of his spiritual and immortal soul. How did God create the human person? Male and female, He created them. Man and woman were willed by God for each other. Both are made in the image of God. Does the human person have free will? Yes. Because of his spiritual soul, the human person is master of his actions and can choose one thing rather than another, such as doing good rather than doing evil. What are the consequences of this freedom? The consequences of this freedom are a person can, what's the word? Deliberately. That means on purpose, right? Oppose God's will and refuse His love, separating himself from God, but he is also able to, what? Return God's love by living in his friendship. How did man, who had been newly created by God, use his freedom? Man was called, like the angels, to a very special friendship with God. But he allowed himself to be seduced by who? The devil. And who did he disobey?
God.
Because of this, he lost both for himself and for all his descendants the gift that God had given him, and he became subject to suffering, then death, and the tyranny of the passions which war against the soul. Today, humanity, on account of the sin of our first parents, find itself in a condition of, what's the word? Opposition and disobedience to God, a condition from which we cannot save ourselves by our own powers. This situation of sin is called original sin. Every person from the moment of his conception bears this inherited burden, from which, as we shall see, only Jesus Christ can save us, reopening for us the gates of what? Gates of paradise. We don't want to go to hell. Gates of paradise. And calling each one to become adopted child of God. What is divine providence? Divine providence is God's ordering through his loving plan of goodness. God lovingly and mercifully watches over everything he has made, guiding creatures on their journey to their final goal, eternal life with God. Did God create human beings in his own image and likeness? Yes. God created human beings in his own image and likeness. Every person has this profound dignity. Every person has a profound dignity. God made us all, regardless of sex, race, nationality, or ethnic origin, to be his children, sisters and brothers in one family. We are endowed with both a body and a soul. Body and soul. Our spiritual and immortal soul is created immediately by God. It empowers us with a what? Spiritual nature that enables us to think, to discern right from wrong, and to love God, love as God loves us. Though we had a beginning, we are you don't have that page? Oh. That's why you're not answering, right? Okay, well, that's a good reason why. That's very logical, huh? Okay, well, maybe all of you have a very good theological formation to be able to give the answer anyway. Okay, what would it be? Immortal, okay? The way to the beginning, we are immortal in that sense that we never cease to exist. Why did God create male and female? You know that today, in Target, they're trying to create transgender bathrooms. Did you know about that?
Yeah.
That's what this. We don't have enough time to go into detail, but we should spend a lot of time talking about that. You think it's a good idea, the creation of transgender bathrooms? You like that?
No.
You think it's good, Sabrina, having transgender bathrooms?
No.
Why not? Are you discriminating against freedom?
No, it's not right to begin with.
But don't you think you're kind of a bigot? You're kind of closed-minded? You're intolerant? You're mean-spirited? Isn't that what they say? I mean, I'm playing the devil's advocate. I agree with you, no? But that's what they're going to say. And, you know, that's you're going to probably going to be seeing this in the future and just be aware of it, no? It's wrong because God created man and woman, you know? And also what they're doing today is you can go into a hospital as a girl and you can come out as a boy. Did you know that? So you can go into Kaiser Permanente as a girl, then you can come out as a boy. You can have hormonal treatment as well as some psychological help to help you to cope with your new change. No? That's why, you know, the chapter, we're going through it very quickly, but if we had more time, we'd go to this in detail, is that if you're a girl, thanks be to God that you're a girl. You're a boy, praise the Lord that you're a boy. You should want to change your sex, or try to be another person. God created you, who you are, and that's beautiful. Okay? That's beautiful. So in school, you're going to be hearing a lot of weird things coming at you in high school, and if you go to college, even more so. I think you have to discern, talk with your parents, maybe talk with a priest, so that if you're confused about what they say, we can try to clarify it. Is that clear? And you probably know a couple years ago that they legalized same-sex marriages, right? Between girls can marry girls and boys can marry boys. Do you think that's good? It's wrong. Even though it's legal, it's immoral. Everything that is not legal is always immoral. You probably know. Also, abortion is legal, right? But it's immoral. And that's going to be the topic of our retreat tomorrow, right? And if a retreat tomorrow is going to be topic is going to be that of abortion. Okay, that's a very important topic. So I think we have an announcement, don't we? Okay, so we'll finish and then we'll have a very important announcement. But what we're going through now is very applicable to what's going on in the society. No? You know, you have girls that want to be boys, boys that want to be girls. It's wrong. It's just, for me, it's stupid, isn't it? Kind of dumb. If you're a girl, why do you want to be a boy? No? I crave you an attractive girl. Why do you want to be a boy? No? Your boy, you want to be a girl? That's dumb. God created a boy. Praise the Lord. No? So, one day, most of you, you're going to marry. You know, make sure you know you marry someone of the opposite sex. Okay, is that clear? And you get married not in Las Vegas. You get married in the church. Okay. There's a lot of people. They go off to Las Vegas, and then they have a wedding chapel, they're married by the justice of the peace, and they go off to Las Vegas to the casino to live it up, okay? You gotta get married where? In the Catholic Church? Hope we get married here. Hope we'll be able to marry you, no? If you don't have any money, we'll marry you free of charge. You know, say, I don't have any money, no tengo dinero, no? I say, te caso gratis, te llevo pollo loco después, eh? Muy economical, no? Sacraments. You don't have money. You get this. You don't have to have money for the sacraments. No. Is that true? You believe it? Good. Okay. So we have Number 13. Is that where we're at? God created man, male and female, to create the family. Family is both mother and father. Not mother and mother. And father as they're trying to do. Is that right for a little boy to have two mothers? And have two fathers? That's crazy. No? But they're trying to promote that in the society today, and that's wrong. Mother and father. Marriage is only between a man and a woman. Two men cannot create a child. Can two men create a child? Crazy, isn't it? Two women cannot create a child. Right? It's crazy. But if you go to college, you bring this up, they're going to say, hey, you're a bigot, you're intolerant, you're mean, you're merciless, no? We're living in the United States, you've got to be free to do whatever you want. Uh-uh. You're free to do what God wants, right? Yeah. Free to do what God wants, not whatever you want, what God wants. Got that? Okay. The family is very important to God. Family consists of a man, a father, and a woman, a mother, and hopefully children, both boys and girls. Okay, are humans the summit of God's creation? Do you think we're more important than dogs, than cats, than mountain lions? Yeah, well, I mean, animals are great, but the human person is much more important. Years ago when I arrived, there was a woman that was running in Big Bear, and a mountain lion came out and grabbed onto the woman, mauled her, and killed her. The mountain lion was killed, which is a woman, not a woman, it was a female, rather, and she had cubs. And the woman left some of her children, and they raised more money for the cubs of the mountain lion than for the woman who lost her children. Think that's right? We have nothing against animals, but the children are much more important than animals. See how the society is heading? In the wrong direction. Animals are great, but the human person is the high point. That's what summit means, the high point of creation. So humans are right in the summit of God's creation. We are in solidarity with each other and with all God's creatures. We are called to depend on one another and to respect the beauty of God's universe. We have the responsibility to develop, not destroy, God's creation for the good and well-being of everyone. Amen? Okay, good. We're going to say our consecration prayer to Mary, then we have an announcement or two. Okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's open. Let's go to your consecration prayer, which is on the front of your binder. Together, consecration to Mary, my Queen and my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am your own. Keep me, guard me, as your property and possession. Amen. Father, Son. Okay, there's an announcement.